This week, the Highland Park Parade shooter was sentenced to 7 life terms for murdering 7 people and injuring dozens of others. Many of the victims' families here in the Chicago area are represented by Antonio Ramanucci from the law firm of Ramanucci and Blandin. They are truly one of our country's premier firms concentrating in personal injury malpractice, class action, police misconduct. One of the attorneys for family of George Floyd, his firm also brought an innovative suit that we're talking about just briefly against Smith & Wesson. Welcome to the show, Antonio. You've been a friend of the show. I appreciate you jumping on today.
Hello, Karen, and have a good time with you.
Okay, it's a little bit of a bad connection, but I'm going to ask you this question. Now, Antonio, you were in court with the victims' families this week, and the defendant was a no-show, which I kind of called because he hadn't shown up for a lot of his trial prep and pretrial activities. What did you make of him not showing up, and what did the families make of it?
Now, hopefully our connection is better now.
It is better.
Good. To me, it was very predictable that he wasn't going to show up. Now, I didn't know that he wasn't going to show up, but looking at how he was trying to, you know, instill chaos into his court case and really what he was doing in torturing the family, either by showing up in court and staring at them or not showing up in court when he was supposed to, really wasn't surprising at all that he didn't show up. And the fact that neither he nor his family showed up pretty much verified in my mind what a bunch of cowards they all are, and also that they couldn't look their accusers, these survivors and the families of loved ones in the face and show any remorse at all, which we know that didn't happen because he wasn't there. So he couldn't have even a word to say that he was sorry. In fact, you know, if we talk about it, we saw the exact opposite from him.
And, you know, you expect it maybe from a sociopathic killer, you know, but I just thought his parents maybe would have stepped up to the plate and put on a face and just had been there for him. But again, I don't know that they're taking any responsibility for anything that happened in this matter.
Well, you would think that as a parent, someone who raises children, that you would have a little bit more compassion and understanding. You know, when even if it is your son, he slaughters people unnecessarily and needlessly, it doesn't mean that person has to stop being your son, but you can show remorse for what happened to these innocent people. But we know that even the shooter's father has victimized himself throughout this process, even though he was the one who facilitated getting this exact weapon that was used to murder everybody on July 4th, 2022. So it's really not surprising that they weren't there. His mother, for example, keeps claiming innocence for his son, even though his son, you know, obviously has said that he did it. He pled guilty to the murders, and she wanted a federal investigation into the shootings, which is really confusing to me because, you know, the federal government does have a death sentence. Illinois does not have a death sentence. So it's really the whole all of the actions of the family and the shooter himself are bewildering.
Absolutely. Delusional, really. So the question that I have for you is, being close to the families and watching them go through this whole thing, it's so good that they didn't have to go through a trial. You know, it's too bad they had to get geared up for it. At the last minute, he pleads guilty. But was it at all cathartic for them to get up and to issue their victim impact statements, whether it was in writing or I know that you actually read one of the victims' statement? Was it good for them, or do you think it was re-traumatizing?
No, I do think it was good for them. And my slight hesitation only was to say that, you know, at least from my eyes, and I've seen many of these, Karen, as I'm sure you have too, but I've never sat in a courtroom where I've heard, you know, 20 victim impact statements being read. It was extremely cathartic, very emotional. So many of the family members were there to support each other, hugging each other, crying on each other's shoulders, making sure that they were okay after they read their statements, that I think they went through their own process of healing, setting aside what this monster did. This was something that they did for themselves, and obviously can't bring back the lives that were taken or the lives that were harmed, But I got to tell you, just watching and observing and absorbing what happened just the other day, it truly was something that they needed to go through. And I'm so glad that he wasn't there for that. He Keely Roberts said it best. He doesn't deserve to be in their presence. He deserves to be rotting in that cell that he's in. He had no right to be with those beautiful families on that day.
Well said. Well said. Quickly, before I let you go, I know you have a busy day today. You have sued Smith and Wesson on behalf of some of the families here. Can you describe? I know you had a midstream victory in the case. Can you tell our listeners what the theory of the case is and how it's going?
Yes, it's just this midstream victory, which is a good way to call it. We were motion to dismiss were denied. The gun shops and Smith and Wesson were attempting to stop the case before it got any further, and that was not successful. So we're going to be able to hopefully get into what's called discovery very shortly, Karen, and that's because we filed a lawsuit against Smith and Wesson and against the gun shops who aided and abetted this individual in getting the gun and using it for the massacre. The theories behind the litigation are the Consumer Fraud and the Deceptive Marketing Practices Act, which are both laws that we have on our books in Illinois, which we say that Smith & Wesson violated. You see, gun manufacturers have very broad immunity. They cannot be sued for traditional things that people would want to sue people for if they commit a wrongdoing or what's called a tort. They can't be sued for mere negligence because the federal government has given them immunity. And so the only way that they can't be immunized from litigation is if they actually violate a state or federal law. And we say that they violated Illinois' Consumer Fraud Act and deceptive marketing practices. And that's what was a cause to the shooting. This advertising that they inundated the shooter with, how they groomed him to want to have a Smith & Wesson rifle and to play out his real-life actions, we saw actually happened. Karen, what we learned the other day was that this shooter had been fantasizing about doing this for years. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. He had been thinking about this because he had been groomed to think about this for years, and we're saying that it happened through playing video games, through the advertising, from social media advertising from the gun manufacturer, Smith & Wesson, and from others, and that ultimately led him to play out his real-life fantasy and do it.
And you know, I'm all for this lawsuit. I do believe there's no reason that a gun manufacturer will want to target angry young men who are poised to do these types of things. So I hope this works out, and I hope that other gun manufacturers cease and desist based upon the results that you get in this case. Antonio Romanucci, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure you'll be here again. If anybody wants to contact you, I want to repeat. Romanucci and Blandin, an excellent law firm here in Chicago and across the country, personal injury, medical malpractice, class action, police misconduct. What is your contact information, Antonio?
Oh, thank you, Karen. I can be reached at 312-458-1000, and my email is aromanucci@rblaw.net. Thank you, Karen.
And you can always email me at WGN@askkarenconti.com.